What's up, pigeon?
Where are we going?
We don't talk about the circle. It's a secret.
What's a secret?
Exactly.
I give you Travis Madam Madden!
This isn't for me. I'm going to go back to the dorm and study.
Hello.
May I?
For one. Are you standing here? I don't know if that's good for me. See you later, pigeon.
What was the deal with the one guy covered in tattoos?
Oh, that's his roommate. He's a sophomore.
That guy goes to college? You're not my type.
I'm everybody's type.
Wow. He's so hot.
No one's my favorite.
It's too late to close it now.
Why are you here?
I'm just trying to take you to dinner. I'll pick you up at 8.
I must break you.
Go for it.
That's who you're fighting?
Is this your weird little way of admitting you like me?
I don't like you.
If he manages to lay a hand on me, I'll go without sex for a month.
Like a bet?
Yeah. And if I win, you have to stay with me for a month.
Ooh. You're on.
Pack your bags, pigeon! You're coming home with me!
Don't cross this line, okay? Wall of China!
Wow.
What's this?
It's not a pen, I'll tell you that.
You embody everything that is wrong with your gender.
We can at least be friends.
Abby, get out of the way!
Friends, but with no benefits.
Whoa!
What did I just get out of you?
There's so much about me he doesn't know.
I'm madly in love with you.
Shut up and just kiss me.
Okay.
I'm here.
Yeah. Hey, Abby, give me a hug.
Hey, baby girl.
Don't greet her like this. It's too porny. You know you want
it. Raging full-blown erection. Gigantic penis. Welcome to Recap and Gown, the podcast where four old millennials talk about the high school and college movies from back in the day when we were high school and college students to find out what made the grade and what should have been held back. Representing the class of 03, I am your co-host Crooks. Joining me this week and every week, he sings like an angel and brings like a fish, the class of 04's own Big Hearn, David Oscar Hernandez. What up, Dave?
Not much. I started watching Three Body Problem.
I need to watch that. I've heard nothing but good things.
All it took was like that 30 seconds on Netflix when you go over the little square and it gives you a little preview in the background. I'm like, the fuck is this? And I had one half of one episode. I'm like, this is wild. And I've heard wonderful things. I'm not a big sci-fi person either, but this is very interesting stuff. So,
yeah.
And so also
I'm similar. Yeah.
It's tough too. At the beginning of the month, that's when they dump all the new shit. And I'm like, there's so much good shit. Like, I don't think I've seen the movie Skyscraper with The Rock before, but it's there. But it's, yeah, it's.
Is that Courtney Cox or Neve Campbell?
Neve Campbell.
Is that Neve Campbell? Okay.
Oh, yeah. And The Rock has one leg. One leg.
And still pretty jumps awesome. 180 yards.
From a crane onto the building. Uh-huh. I don't. They gave away a lot in that little preview too, but I'll be watching that. But that Three Body Problem, I think it's going to be pretty good, and people seem to agree.
I have no new recs because I am up to my neck in Seeking Sister Wife on HBO Max. Because that is some cringeworthy garbage, is what that is. That is.
They added 12 seasons of Moonshiners as well on HBO Max.
If you remember that. Jesus!
Watching people make moonshine.
I used to watch it back in the day. I don't know why. Yeah. I watched that. I used to watch Swamp People. Swamp People's fun, at least. It's just repetitive as shit. Those shows are just the same episode over and over and over again.
I just worry that it's poverty porn.
They both are. I mean, Swamp People is full-on poverty porn. They used to have these two brothers on that show who legit look like the hillbillies from like those old Looney Tunes cartoons. Like, beard down to your belly button, overalls only. And then one of them died. And I'm like, oh my God, he was like 51. He looked 95 years old. Like, it's a hard fucking life on that guy. So yeah, it is 100% poverty porn. Seeking Sister Wife is not. If anything, it's like, look at these religious fucking weirdos. So I'm in on that. Flying solo in the Lone Star State, this podcast chief. Oh, I didn't write it down. What is your correspondence this week? This happens way too often to me.
Game theory
and trivia correspondent from the class of 01, Dana Griffin. What up, Dana?
Not much. I truly don't understand what the three body problem is about. I don't even want to watch a trailer for it, but there's a crazy story behind it where there's like a murder plot tied to people owning the rights of it.
Oh.
So there's this, like, the guy who actually owned the rights was, what did I just read in this article? The victim of a poisoning plot described as both premeditated and extremely despicable. And the guy who murdered
the Netflix doc, like, about that.
Yeah, the millennial billionaire who owned the rights to the three-body problem was poisoned and killed by this other lawyer. And it's like a wild story that I was like trying to follow the thread on Twitter, but I don't have a ton of patience. So I quickly just skimmed a BBC article. But yeah, so there's like a whole real life murder situation going on. I mean, not that I don't mean to laugh. I feel very sorry for Lynn Key's passing. But yeah, so not only is the show whatever the hell it is, it's a book, it's whatever. There's also craziness in the real world about it.
I mean, once you say the words millennial billionaire, I'm like, yeah, he probably should have died. Like, he did bad things to get that money. You don't get that much money this young. You don't get that money ever without doing bad things.
A company, Yuzu Games, maybe? Yuzu Games? It's a Chinese billionaire. Well, he was.
Well, see. Did bad things, I'm certain. Don't want to speak ill of the dead, but here I am. Well,
the man
is
deceased.
Rest in peace. What should never rest in peace is this masterpiece of a film we're talking about this week from 2023, Beautiful Disaster. I'm going to read where you can get this because this one fucking shocked me. It's on Hulu, which makes sense. Apparently, this damn near porno is on Disney Plus.
No.
Like, I don't know how that's possible.
No, it's the bundle. It's the
Disney Hulu ESPN bundle. Okay. Bundle. Yeah. I was like, how the fuck did this one
on Disney? Just changed color because it has a little bit of the Hulu green.
Oh,
in
is
it.
That when they did that? Oh my god!
But don't forget about Hoopla or Plex.
Those are on those too.
Oh, it's on those. It's on those. But I was
also on
Hulu,
Prime.
No commercials. Hoopla and Plex. You're watching it with commercials. So.
Oh, I
it's on Prime. You can on Hulu. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sad. You can get it on Vudu and Apple TV. If you want to pay for it? But
I pay full freight for Hulu. So. Don't bother me with that.
Yeah, Hulu is that's our cable provider, so we don't get commercials on it.
Hulu is included in my Spotify subscription, so I'm okay. It's $11 for two services.
And this was a short enough movie. The commercials probably made it like an hour and 40 minutes, so it's all right.
It wasn't bad.
The synopsis via Rotten Tomatoes. This is the first time I've had a synopsis that I had to click on the like more button at the bottom. It's a long synopsis.
More.
Yeah. Bad boy Travis Maddox is exactly what college freshman Abby Abernathy needs and wants to avoid. He spends his nights fighting in underground boxing matches and his days as the ultimate college campus charmer. But Abby wants nothing to do with Travis. Intrigued by Abby's resistance to his appeal, Travis offers her a simple bet. If he loses his next fight, he must remain sex-free for a month. If he wins, Abby must live in his apartment for the same amount of time. Either way, Travis has no idea that Abby's dark past is about to emerge, and he may have finally met his match, and whoever wrote that did not watch this movie. That's not what the bet is at all. That is a mess of a synopsis and way too fucking wordy. We'll get into all of the mistakes, because that is not what this movie's about. Dave, if you could, give us a rundown of who's in this movie.
Man, there's a couple folks in this one. Let's see. A couple. Where'd it go?
Uh-oh.
I've lost it. There we go. It's Dylan Sprouse, not Cole Sprouse.
Yeah, the other one.
They split and Big Daddy as two people as one, but I guess just Dylan. This one is Travis.
Child labor laws got out the window. They grew up.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you go to sleep. You work.
It's 2 a.m.
Yeah, Virginia Gardner as Abby. How do you say this name? Liebe Bearer as America.
I don't know.
Austin North as Shepley. It's a terrible.
Even the fucking name is Shepley.
Neil Bishop as Parker. Brian Austin Green as Mick.
Mm-hmm.
Rob Estes as Benny. Sam Larson as Jesse. A character actor who I love, who just they're like, we have you for half a day. Michael Cudlitz, who's been in every TV show.
That's a real actor.
Yeah, he was on Walking Dead. He had a pretty big role on Walking Dead for a couple seasons there. And as Jim Maddox, mm-hmm. there's all these Maddoxes. Autumn Reeser's the professor. Didn't notice her.
Because she's 120 yards from the camera. She's never close enough to make out her face.
She was Summer on the OC.
There you go.
Wait, she saw the OC.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Akshay Kumar as Adam, who just when he shows up, fight whenever Adam's around, which doesn't make any sense. And
that's fine. Question. So Shepley is also a Maddox. Are they related, or is that just like a weird? Did they say they're related?
I think he said they're cousins.
Cousins, okay. Huh?
Because all the brothers have T names. So I was like, it's not his brother, but okay. I missed that until I saw the credits. I'm like, oh, he was also a Maddox, huh? I'll be damned.
Dad's named Jim. He's like, I'm just going to name him T's.
I assume his mom was like a Tammy or a Tiffany or some shit. Let's go around the horn here and give some nostalgic memories of the first time we saw this movie from 6 months ago. Dana, what do you got?
I watched it yesterday.
Okay. All right. Dave?
I watched it in chunks today.
Okay, so I saw it like a month ago because How Did This Get Made did it, and it was for free.
Can't wait to listen to that episode. I wouldn't let myself. I was like, can't listen to it before we record. Can't be spoiled. And
yeah, you can't ruin yourself on it. But it took all the restraint in my body not to pick it when I picked the Inkwell instead, because it was that week, and I'm like, I have to let it rest first. I can't do the same shit they're doing this week. But goddamn, Dana, did it make the grade, or should they've held this back?
Well,
mm-hmm.
there's a line in the outline that I kind of need to wait for. But for me, mm-hmm. for what I witnessed, my initial reaction, actually, even I don't know, because now I don't.
Makes you reconsider things.
It does, but not really. But still, no. Okay. Maybe not. I don't know. I truly don't know. I wasn't really like paying attention because I was like, what the fuck is this?
You have to do this one. There's so much happening in it.
I took really bad notes. I was on Twitter. I don't know.
not as much happen as you think happens. Actually, I was able to follow it and I was paying maybe a little more attention.
This was based on books?
Yeah,
there's a whole book series. Yeah,
there were books and six spin-off movies. Is apparently that's the trivia. Sorry, not to ruin
it. It's a six-picture deal. Yeah.
Yep, three books and six spin-off movies.
Uh huh. Well, Dave, make the grade for you.
No. Even if it's, I'm gonna wait until
we'll talk about it early on.
But man, it really depends on what you think this is. If this is like a normal movie, then it's really, really bad. If they were trying to do something else, then maybe it was okay, but still pretty bad. There's a big time twist that happens.
The
underground fighting, the last 30 minutes are just
it's a
ridiculous.
Different movie.
It's a completely different movie. It's wild.
It lost me by then.
It's pretty dumb and, yeah, I don't ever need to see it again. Or I heard there was a sequel, and I don't know.
There was. I'm going to try to find it right now.
I'm good.
What we're dancing around here a little bit is that this movie is a satire. It's like a parody. So
I don't believe that.
We'll talk about it in a sec here. So for me, it absolutely made the grade. If it was a serious movie, it'd be as bad as Remember Me, You're Outside Providence. But because it's like a full-blown slapstick parody of a rom-com, to me, it hit the fucking nail on the head. I will explain why with this fun fact here. So the fun fact that I have is they filmed every scene in this movie a bunch of times starting very serious and straightforward and then ramping up to like increasingly absurd levels of like insanity. So as a result, the stars didn't know what the movie was going to be until it got released. So like there's a very clean, straightforward like rom-com, or probably like a straightforward like romantic drama version of this film. And there's one where it's just like people falling on banana peels and making fart sounds the entire time. And then they like Frankensteined monstered a movie together out of like, well, this one's going to be a little bit less and this one's going to be a lot more. And so for me, I'm like, yes, there's a moment that happens and I'm like, okay, this is not a real movie. And then from that point on, it gets kind of increasingly absurd. So for me, I put, there's scenes in this movie that I compare to Wet Hot American Summer in terms of like how absurd the satire is. So yes, for me, it made the grade. Any other fun facts on this one?
No.
Well, it happened last week, so.
Nine total books. Three in the original series and six spinoffs. And I'm like, are you serious?
I want to read one of the books to see if the book is also silly or if the book is told like a straightforward romance book. I don't know. So let's go ahead and get into the recap and the segments here. The first question, just to kind of level set. When or if did you guys realize this was a satire?
Never. Until I read that line in the notes 20 minutes ago.
Maybe at the very end, because they did the hangover at the end.
Well, they did the hangover at the end, but that last sex scene, you guys thought that was a serious?
Yes.
I was just like, what the fuck is going on? I just didn't understand.
Yes, exactly. I mean, satire's got to be hit on the head, man. And you had to know right away. I just did not know. And I'm like, Oh, and they're partying like, and they're taking Polaroids. Oh, that's fun, but that's like a Vegas thing. That's, what are we satirizing here?
I will tell you, because before I saw it for the first time, I was also unaware. And the moment that got me was where Travis scares the shit out of Parker after he wins the bet when they're in the car together. Before that, it felt like a bad rom-com, like that Lindsay Lohan Christmas movie that we watched, where I'm like, oh, this is just like a bad movie.
Get out of the car! Out of the car!
That part was funny.
Get the fuck out the car!
Yes. Yes! I thought that was hilarious. In my notes, I went, the car scene was funny. I don't know what's going on with the rest of this film.
That's the moment where I'm like, okay, if this was like a serious film, I could have him go, okay, you have to get out, I'm kind of scared, whatever. He's like, no, he is a maniac. He's going to hurt me very badly. At that point, I'm like, okay, I see what we're doing here. And her be like, no, it's fine. It's fine. And he's like crying. He's going to piss himself. Mm-hmm. I liked that. Okay, so this is going to be a different episode than I thought, because I didn't realize you guys did not ever pick up on that. Let's walk through this movie.
Okay, so I didn't know. And maybe it's my fault because I was not paying attention. But I watched for a couple minutes and I could see certain things that were coming. And I like, there are so many questions in my notes that I'm like, why? And now that I know it's supposedly satire and they filmed it eight different ways.
Yeah.
It is clear, but at the same time, it wasn't clear enough. I shouldn't have to pay attention that closely, because like, I think that's where it lost me. If I had known, I would have recontextualized it, but like, you can't wait that long to let me in on the joke. Because I never got there. Because I'm not going to give this movie a close reading. Like, it just seemed really stupid.
And for me, like, the two satires that I point to as my favorite two are Wet Hot American Summer and Death of Stalin. And in both of those, you know right away we are satirizing things. Like, in Wet Hot American Summer, that first scene where it's like, okay, camp is opening up and all the boys are, like, running out of the girls' dorms and, like, running into each other. And Janine Garofalo's like, guys are supposed to be out of your bunks. You're in trouble. I'm like, all right, that's good. Death of Stalin, the movie starts off with every star in the movie kneeling down in a puddle of piss and then go, oh my God, is that pee? Like over again.
Gossipy bitches, which is the best. I'm like, they probably were like that.
For sure they were. But
that's how I knew. I'm like, oh, this is great.
This one starts out basically indistinguishable from like any Hallmark or like made for TV romantic drama. So it starts off, Abby's on a train writing an email to her dad about how, like,
on a bus, something?
Is that a bus? I thought it was a train.
A bus?
Because who writes on a bus? Okay, so she's on a bus.
From Vegas, I guess what?
Her dad.
No train from Vegas to Sacramento, yeah. Man. Huh. Does not exist.
That's true. I guess I didn't put that together. That's fair. But she's writing to an email to her dad about how she's like going to college now. And we know nothing about this woman whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
We hear the entire email and voiceover, and then they show you her computer screen, and it's literally the entire voiceover with like full line breaks between each sentence. There's also random shots of poker chips and headlines about somebody called Lucky 13.
Yeah.
They have a headline that says Lucky 13 turns 16, which is fully insane when you find out what that means later on. Like, why would a newspaper write about this? Why is any of this allowed to happen?
And I wish they would have gotten someone who could actually, you know, done the chip tricks with their fingers.
She's supposed to be bad at it. That's the point. That's the whole idea.
She's been playing cards as long as she has and shuffling. She wasn't shuffling all that well. I'm like,
no.
Get someone who knows what they're doing. Because I can shuffle well. I can do the.
I can't chip do thing. The chip little, thing, but I can shuffle
a little bit of effort. Just shuffle. To do the. Yeah, little chip. Yeah, someone can do that.
The way they zoomed in on her hand, I thought that was supposed to be like clumsy and bad looking. But they get to college. And Abby meets her friend there. We don't know how she knows America. They've never really gave us any context for that.
That's the name of the country. America.
It's the
Florida.
Florida.
The name of a state. Oh, God. Do not watch the new Good
Times.
That's
not a name.
So Abby gets to college, meets her friend. They're like getting her into her dorm, and then her friend says that she's got like a great party for them to go to or whatever, and Abby's like, no, I can't go out tonight, I have to study. Like, you just got to college, you've not been to class, you bought no books. She's literally in the same clothes that she wore on the bus to get there, and she's like, no, I have to study tonight, which I thought, again, solid parody shit.
I thought it was solid parody. That just seems like parody. A dumbass.
So America's boyfriend Shepley, which is not a name, says that he's got like a place for them to go to, and then it is a hard cut to them walking into legit Fight Club, and I think this is where we're supposed to realize it's a satire. Like, I think it's like, okay, at no point would anybody go to this as like our first hangout at college.
The one fun is like, there's, I think that guy's jerking up. No, he's just rubbing a bottle.
Yep.
I'm like, okay, hilarious. That's great. We're supposed to think this is full on set.
Yeah. So everything before this was like so by the book that I'm just like, oh, this feels like a weird writing decision more than anything else.
Okay.
I think there are moments like this is where there's stuff that happens in it that I'm like, I think this is a joke. But then like it's just not, and again, I was not giving this movie a close read.
You should watch it again. Really
dumb. No, that's not gonna happen. But there's like things that happen within the fight that you're like, this seems ridiculous. Like, okay,
yes.
Maybe I should have guessed. Okay.
I mean, the biggest giveaway is that they have Fight Club where they're in jeans. And I'm like, we're not gonna do a Fight Club in jeans.
I've only ever seen Fight Clubs with jeans
and
on.
Shoes too. Well, the rules like no shirts, true. No shoes. That's a big rule.
Y'all haven't watched the new Roadhouse? The first Roadhouse opens up with Post Malone and shirtless with jeans on it.
Hot take. I love the new Roadhouse, and it wasn't good. It is there wasn't good, but I loved it.
The ending is weird. I also had to take a break to walk my dog, so maybe that's like my fault for taking a break while watching the movie. But I was mostly this ending is wild.
I've mostly seen TikToks and Instagrams making fun of how Conor McGregor walks around in the movie. That's all that I've seen is jokes about how he's walking.
My husband
around.
Does it too.
He's a bit of a lumber. I think that was probably a choice. He probably made that choice like, I look cool. No,
I've seen him walk. Cool, that's not how he always walks.
I'm Irish, fucking cool, man.
But his accent was like really came and went. I was like, no, stay in your Irish accent. Connor.
He should not act.
Grega.
Anyway. So back to this film. They're at this fight club. Abby bumps into this guy, Trevor, basically audibly says sploosh. There's like a musical sting that plays often in the movie. And I forget, it's like a woman singing, like a little vocal thing that she does. And that's the first time you hear it. During the fight, he punches a dude in the face, and then we just get a shot of Abby's face as like blood splashes all over her face. and yeah, all over splash. Her sweater.
Sorry, yeah. Sploosh. Splash, sploosh.
She doesn't like wipe it off or anything. There's blood on her face.
Nope.
She liked it.
She liked it. The next day, she's out jogging and she meets Parker. On
The shower, the horny shower.
The horny shower. Before that,
there's some horny showers in this movie. That, if you want to say that that's satire or something, that's the horniest part of the movie. The
rest what got
anti-horny.
What got me with that shower scene is like, they set up that the showers suck in this dorm. And her mouth is open with shower water splashing and all the time. Like, oh, you're going to get dysentery. You're going to get sick as shit from that water.
That water, no, it's like that hotel in LA where they found that lady in the water tank. You don't ever
that lady in the tank
go in your mouth. You don't
Let it get in your mouth.
They found a partially eaten human body in the water tank in fucking Ford Field or whatever Detroit.
No, it was two times in 2 weeks. Yeah. They found two
dead
of them.
Bodies.
Two dead bodies.
Well, one was a partially eaten corpse in the water system in Detroit.
My partially God, eaten. Detroit. Partially eaten. Yeah, only
they've given the city up to like wolves and coyotes. So people are getting attacked and eaten and then left in
water tanks. Fucking wild.
What rats? Well, another human?
Rats if we're lucky. So after her horny shower, which is also a dream sequence, because then she wakes up in bed after the horny shower. She's rubbing one out in the shower. Then she goes for a jog. She runs into Parker, who he's got to be 42 years old. It's an old fucking man. He looks old.
His face is gray. It's a pretty gray face. I had to adjust the color on my TV. I'm like, not another one. Yeah, another fucking.
It's a gray face. She's out jogging. Somebody throws a frisbee. They ask her to throw it back. She throws it back directly into Parker's dick and balls from 6 inches away. He's right next to her. Gets it right in the dick. Was injured. he's on the ground, like doubled over, moaning and screaming. And again, this is another moment that could have tipped me off if this is satire, but this feels like a Hallmark Channel meet cute. Like, hit the guy in the dick. I've seen Melissa Joan Hart hit somebody in the dick before in a movie, and that's their meet cute.
Holiday in Handcuffs, yeah.
That's right, Holiday in Handcuffs, hit right in the dick. Yep. So we find out that because the showers suck, she has to move in with Shepley in America. I think she's in the shower. Yeah.
I thought Erica is her roommate. I thought they both had to go to Shep's.
Is that what happened?
Are they both going to Shep's? Because they were roommates. Yeah.
Okay. This movie's bad.
The water goes out for 24 hours. Like, I'll just be moving in for the day.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just going to move in for the day because my shower stopped.
For the day. Take a shower, stay in your apartment. That happened to me in my dorm in college, too. It's like, we were sent to another dorm to shower. We stayed in our dorm.
And her shower was basically over by that point. Like, she was just in there to masturbate, so like all she had to do was towel off and she was done. But she and America move in with Shepley. We also find out that Travis lives there too. Fun coincidence. She's right away like, oh, I don't like this guy, blah blah blah, I'm grossed out. But then she shares a bed with him, which was surprising. It wasn't like, I'm going to sleep on the couch or the floor, or he sleep on the couch, whatever. We don't establish why they shared a bed. They just wake up in the morning in the same bed.
Because he straight up says, you take the bed, I'll be out. But then he comes in a couple times, and one time he shows off his butt cheeks and like, oh, let me just change real quick while you're sleeping. You're definitely not looking at them butt cheeks.
The second time we see his butt cheeks.
That was the second time? Sorry.
The first time was in the shower when she's masturbating in the shower. The show was his wet butt. His wet butt and then his dry butt when he gets naked in front of her in his bed.
And for whatever reason, like, he doesn't go back out and sleep on the couch. He ends up in the bed somehow.
I think nude. Because what happens in the next morning, he has to be nude. So, again, another moment that I should have picked up, and this is satire. He's in bed on his back with raging full-blown erection. Gigantic penis. This is not like an average man-sized dick. This is like up to his rib cage, essentially. And then she wakes up and grabs onto it, like,
she's
over
like
the
half,
comforter.
She's like half asleep, half awake.
Yeah, like Porky's.
She's,
got it.
Yes.
Acting like she's petting a cat, and there are cat sounds.
There are cat sounds.
Where is this coming? It's so weird.
That's
what I call satire. That's what I call satire.
Well, that same cat noise plays like 9 times with Hot American Summer. But she's got a hold of this thing. Like she's grabbed onto it, and she keeps on calling it Mouse. I'm assuming the cat's name is Mouse. She's talking to the cat.
What cat? We never see a cat.
There was not a cat. But she's got a hold of his dick, talking to it like it's a cat. And he is, in the most half-assed way possible, being like, hey, Abby, not what you think it is, Abby. And then finally, like, she realizes and she screams in a way that makes all the birds fly off the trees, which is standard trope. We also find out with them living together that Travis is like a cartoon toxic male. So the first time I watched this, I was just like, oh, I'm treating this like it's a serious romance movie. And I'm like, what man wrote this fucking movie? Because no woman would want this dude. He is unreasonably sexual towards Abby with everything he says. Fully bangs another woman and then like throws that woman's phone number away when Abby gives it to her.
The part, the motorcycle, and he's kept throwing the helmet back. He's like, I can do this on that.
That was the part where I was pissed at her.
You're getting on the motorcycle, but she's like, okay, sploosh, I'm getting on the motorcycle. So it worked.
That was
my problem.
That she obviously is very attracted to him, but refuses to admit it and like doesn't want to admit it. Mm-hmm. We kind of are told why, but also kind of not, because it's like, I think he's bad for me, but it's like, you obviously find this man attractive.
Yeah. You're like, masturbating to him in the shower 4 hours after you met him. Yeah. Like, you like this guy.
I figured it was something like, he's like my dad, so I want to be like nowhere.
If she would have said that.
Been great.
But yeah, she would have said that. That's all she would have had to say, because it's like, we didn't really know anything about her dad, except he's kind of like a gambler sort of.
Yeah.
We don't know much about him.
A vagabond. We'll
learn a little bit.
A scofla, a vagabond.
A scofla. A ragamuffin.
I will say, to the part where he's like, he like fucks another woman, she's like studying, and she, we all know what sex sounds like. Is she a virginal person who's like never watched?
Oh, yes. In the books, she's a virgin.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
In the books,
which is
she's
fine,
a virgin.
But she,
it explains a lot that happens later on, basically.
Yes, it does. But you don't know what it sounds like. You've never seen a movie, because she literally is like in the kitchen studying, hears sex going on, and instead of just going towards the door and being like listening, she opens it and like watches, and I'm like, what is she?
And to be clear, they are having sex. They're having sex in the same way that Elizabeth Berkley had pool sex in Showgirls. This lady's flopping around.
Maybe a little calmer, but close. And then she just like leans backward, and he's looking straight up the barrel,
straight right at her,
like, ooh, yeah.
So what Dave was talking about with the motorcycle, there are multiple moments over and over where Abby is like, I do not like you and do not want to go on a date with you. And he's like, yeah, you do. And all he has to do is keep on repeating the same thing. And eventually she's like, okay. And it happens like 4 times. It happens in their classroom where he's like staring at her creepily, like all over and over again.
It reminded me very much like, baby, it's cold outside. Like, just keep saying it. Let me keep saying it. You're not going anywhere.
Really can't stay.
Oh, I forgot to shovel the walk. Get inside. Yeah,
that's really slashed all going. Your tires.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, no, that's how it felt.
Why am I feeling sleepy?
The Casey Blood Wilson version of that is so good.
It's called Rohypnol.
The Casey Wilson version of that song is phenomenal. She's trying so hard to like scramble away. It's very good. So what happens after this? He also mentions he's on an app called Consent Date, which I think is just like, it's like that Dave Chappelle sketch, like the sex contract, like initial here for anal. Like it felt like the same kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Initial here for anal.
Oh man.
But I think kids do have this nowadays. So it was funny,
I hope so.
But it's accurate, I think.
I mean, they need something. They need a thing. So then she goes on a date with Parker, I think mostly because she's trying to convince herself that, like, oh, that's the kind of guy I want to be with.
Yeah.
Parker takes her to, like, a very fancy dinner. And then he mentions he's a doctor. So, like, you're a grown-ass man. Like, you're an old person.
Someone called him doctor, but he's like, I'm not a doctor yet. I'm becoming a doctor. Oh, he's in, like, medical
school or, like, a resident, perhaps?
I've seen movies with you ever seen Suicide Kings before?
I've not.
It's a Christopher Walken movie. There's a bunch of these young the Hollywood guys where they kidnap a mobster to try to get money to be able to. There's a lot of kidnapping going on. It's really good.
Seven heads in a duffel bag.
It's like the guy who's like a second year medical student doesn't really know anything. They end up having to hurt the guy and it's like, you're the doctor, fix him. It's like, second year, I don't know how to do shit. I can do
don't
stitching.
Kidnap a mafioso. Yeah. It's a bad idea.
That happens in movies. Like, if you have like 6 months of medical training at medical school,
you're a doctor now.
You're the doctor. Enjoy. Good luck.
So they had this very fancy date, and I would say he's like a charming enough guy. He doesn't come off like super lame or boring on the date. Mm. A little bit corny, but that's it.
I will say, I thought what they were going to do, I thought that what was going to be the trope of the film. Parker seems like the nice guy, but he's actually the asshole who's going to do something fucked up. And Travis is going to come rescue her, because guess what? Travis secretly has a heart of gold. That's what I thought we were doing.
I was waiting for a pill and a drink too, or something fucked up like that, but nothing.
Yeah, he just has a guy. Kind of look with that gray face. But instead, he's like, hey, listen, there's a show I want to take you to after this date. You're going to love it. This show is more Fight Club.
More fighting, except in a weird ring with like odd entrances, and then it's metal.
The first one.
Instead of ropes, like one, metal. That's why would you fight against metal?
The first one is basically a fight in like an unfinished basement. The second one is like a full-on arena, and there's it's not quite Hell in a Cell, but it's like a big, like, wrought iron. It would suck to watch a fight there. You can't see through it. It's not like a chain link fence.
The UFC cage has some give. This is just, you hear when the guy punches into it, it's like bong. Like, no, that's gonna hurt.
It feels like the 80s, the 80s WWF Big Blue Cage. Where it's this is just made of rebar. It's all this fucking is. They go to this other fight, and surprise, surprise, Travis is fighting again against what they set this other guy up. Like, he's gigantic. He's not big. He's the same size as Travis. And she's like, that's who you're going to fight? He could kill you. And this is where we get the bet. So the synopsis did not get the bet accurately. No. The bet is, if Travis gets hit one time by this guy, not if he loses the fight, if he gets hit once, he will not have sex for 3 months.
Why would she care?
I don't know.
How does this bet benefit me?
Doesn't.
Okay.
Doesn't. I think it does, but she doesn't want to admit it, that like, oh, I don't want him fucking anybody at all but me. So I think subliminally this does appeal to her. And if he doesn't, get hit, then Abby has to live with him for a month. This is a fully absurd bet. I'm pretty sure after this moment, we never see Abby go to class again. So she's basically just like no longer in school.
Correct.
There's a part where they get, their mouths are maybe 2 inches apart. And she's like, I'm never going to have sex with you. And he's like, I don't want to have sex with you. You guys are about to make out right now.
I want to get to know you. I just like having you around. You.
And then he bumps noses with her.
Yeah. It's like, no, like,
he nuzzles her essentially.
Does he ask kiss her? Is that offensive? A little bit. Do we not say that anymore?
It is. But
Inuit kisses. It's fun.
Damn it.
First Nations kiss. That's fun.
Yeah. First Nations kiss. So they have the fight. Of course, Travis doesn't get hit. I don't know how he doesn't, because he has a whole lot of showboating with his back to this guy, and the guy could just hit him. Doesn't get hit. He wins the fight. And then another moment where I don't know how you guys didn't pick up on it, and I don't know how I didn't pick up on it either. When he wins the fight, the ring, the cage around the ring apparently can rotate. So he's holding on to it, literally making chimpanzee hoops and like shrieks while doing the jerk off motion. Like, it's so aggressive. Yeah. He's literally making chimpanzee sounds. And this is good where fight, we get though. The part. Well, yeah, it's a fun fight. The fight choreography is actually okay in this movie. Mm. And so then we get, they're in the car after the fight is over. Yeah.
One thing, that fight, there's not like points or anything. These aren't like fights to the death in like a theater. It's not, no ref. It's not a death fight. It's whoever you just knock out.
I guess, but it's unclear.
No TKOs, just chaos.
So this could go on forever if you knock someone down, but he gets up, but no one's like, one, two, three. Oh, you're officially
in
down.
That first fight, in that first fight, we see Travis get knocked down in a way that he would appear to be knocked out. That if this was an MMA fight, like a sanctioned fight, the ref would stop the fight. He's on the ground for 10, 15 seconds, and then just has a kip up, and the fight keeps going on. So I don't know the rules specifically.
That's how we should have known it was
set. Probably. With him laying flat on the ground and then popping up like Shawn Michaels. That probably should have told us something. But Parker and Abby go to leave, and they're in the car. And Parker is very much like picking up that she's not into him. Like, this is not going well. And then she tries to reassure him. And he's like, I think she asks him for a kiss. And then he leans weird.
I had a question. So I'm like, why are they making her so pathetic? Like, she just comes off as so pathetic.
She does.
And she's like, can I get a goodnight kiss? And I was like, why are you asking this motherfucker? Like, what? Right.
Yeah. So then he leans in for the kiss. And then right before they kiss, Travis like pops up out of fucking nowhere. And he's like screaming in the car, like banging on the window. And this is, like I said, this is the moment for me, because if this is like a regular film, Parker's like, holy shit, okay, listen, you have to get out. Like, let's end this. Instead, he screams in her face for like 30 seconds. Get out! This is funny. He is gonna hurt me. He is a scary person. Get the fuck out the car. He is in a full-blown panic. She eventually gets out of the car and goes off with him, and then Parker like speeds away because he's very afraid of this guy. We get a montage at that point that is not worth talking about. It's not as good. They really could have turned it up with this montage, because it's a montage of like the first maybe 15 days of them living together. You get a lot of like fast forwarded shots of them like tossing and turning in bed, and then shots of them like, you know, doing mundane stuff together.
They should have paid for the song. Tossing and turning. That would have been fun, right?
Turning and tossing. Tossing and turning all night. There you go.
No, nothing like that. Instead, it was like fast motion. Like, let me just go the other side, this way, that way, that. But then occasionally you would look like, oh, they're like rubbing.
Oh, they're spooning.
They would spoon sometimes. And then you would get her with her head at the foot of the bed and like her foot on his face. Like, it was a lot of happening. There was a lot going on.
Who does that?
Nobody I know.
No, I'm sure the director's like, ooh, with that foot in the face. Oh, yeah.
It was directed by Dan Schneider. So they have the first montage, and what I wanted was for it to be like the drug and library montage from Red Hot American Summer. Like, we're going downtown for an hour, and now all of a sudden Amy Poehler was like shooting up heroin. Like,
yeah, it is that simple to get addicted to heroin. Yeah, it's that simple.
I wanted it to be that. It wasn't quite that. After they have the first like 15 days, I don't know if they even established why they do this, but they go to meet Travis's family. Abby and Travis go to meet Travis's family.
They don't tell us why.
No, his two fraternal twin brothers are in front of the house as complete, like, loudmouth jackass dude bros. They basically are your cousin from Boston. They're like jumping on him. They're giving him noogies and shit. And then dad walks out.
It's clearly Pittsburgh too. I'm like, that's a long way to travel from Sacramento. That's Pittsburgh. I'm like, they filmed it in Pittsburgh, 100%.
Dad walks out.
It's like a big hill. I'm like, it's hilly neighborhoods. I'm like, this is fucking Pittsburgh.
I wonder, looking at a lot of the names of like the I guess non-named characters in this movie, I wonder if they filmed this somewhere in Central Europe. There's a lot of like Czech sounding last names or like Bulgarian sounding names for like fighter number two. Sounds like a Czech person. So I'm wondering if this was filmed somewhere in Europe.
It was financed by Voltage Pictures too, which had a really good intro. Did you watch their intro?
I did.
That was the most ridiculous one I've ever seen. Like, well, there's that room. You shouldn't go in that room. Like, oh, Voltage.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Well, it wouldn't surprise me if that's backed by Eastern European.
This feels Eastern Bloc to me. But he's got these two brothers who are like wrestling with him in front of the house. Then the other brother, another brother, Trenton, walks up. So we have Tyler, Taylor, Travis, and Trenton at this point.
Is it Trenton or just Trent?
Well, he's credited as Trenton. He might say he's Trent. But the dad walks out as they're all just like mobbing each other. Hey, keep it in the ring. And then they go have like a full-on fist fight in like the boxing ring on their front yard.
Well, he said that's how he learned to fight.
Yeah. Because his brothers beat the shit out of him. Yeah. And it felt like all these brothers, later on we meet Thomas as well, but it felt like all these brothers were different romantic movie archetypes. Because like Thomas walks into this shitty rundown house in like a very fancy suit. He's like a successful businessman of some sort. Tyler and Taylor are the man children, and then Trent is the artsy, quiet one who's like, "Hey, don't ignore those guys. They're crazy. I'm Trent." Like it was a lot of that. I think Thomas might walk in with a bucket of chicken, or they just have a bucket of chicken on the table. There's one bucket of chicken for seven grown adults. There's a shot at one point where you see everyone has exactly one drumstick on their plate. So it's like no one is really eating dinner here. Mm. They play poker very quickly. Abby is like, oh, no, I shouldn't. I don't want to play. Like, I'll just get like snacks and shit in the kitchen.
So this is the fighting and poker family. They know two things in this family. It's fighting and poker.
They eat.
They're men.
And they know everything about it, too. Everything about those two things.
We'll talk about that in a sec. They eat on a kitchen table that you can just rotate and it becomes a poker table.
Like that's not a ridiculous thing. I had a poker table. My dad still has it. Doesn't like flip over. It doesn't like rotate on a hinge or anything. You have to flip it over. But you can have one side that's like just nice wood and the other side is like felt and like cup holders. Yeah. You know, you play poker within seconds after.
Well, and then the two twin brothers, I think they might all do this, but for sure the two twin brothers, they do like a shouting chant version of Joyful Joyful. Da 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 da.
Ode to Joy.
Over and over again. Ode to Joy. Over and over again. What
song they were doing.
And it's like they're pounding the table, doing it. It's like a But again, because they're like jackass man children, they just do it over and over again. They play poker. Eventually, they like convince Abby to sit down and play with them. And she's like, it's not a matter of you guys going easy on me. It's whether or not I go easy on you. And then she full on like takes all their fucking money. And at one point, she gets exposed here for being this person, Lucky 13. None of this makes a lick of sense. Like, she's good at poker. And she's like, I learned how to play at home in Vegas. And then from nowhere, the dad is like, I remember a high-stakes poker player from Vegas. Named Abernathy. Used to have his daughter come and play with him. And, so what happened to him, Dad?
Yeah, Michael Cudlitz. Yeah, Michael Cudlitz. He'll kill this. He's too good for this movie, but he'll do this really, really well. And he did.
This is very good. This is obviously one of those scenes where, like, we're just going to shoot this. You know, the straight take was the best. We're just going to leave this in.
Yes.
And there's all these like dark flashbacks. He's like,
oh yeah,
remember
poker player named, and she wound up being better than
Abernathy.
You
should call her Lucky 13. Lucky 13.
And then he pulls up his phone and is like, hey, you know that story. This is you, isn't it? And I was like, why is there pictures of her on the internet? Like, why is any of this happening? Like,
the better she got, the worse he got. And she just kept having to bail him out. And I was just like,
How do they know this story?
I guarantee they must have been followed by a reporter for like 2 years. You wrote a big expose in like the Sacramento Bee or some shit. I don't know.
Right?
Or the, like, or the what's that? The I don't know what the Las Vegas paper is. I can't think of
the name. Whatever one John Ralston used to write for.
I know. So, I'm trying to think of it. Yeah. He's independent now.
Yeah, he is his own thing now. But the boys hear this and they go.
The Times Picayune. The Vegas there Times Picayune. That's not what it's called. That's New Orleans, obviously.
Yeah, Picayune is the most New Orleans word ever.
The Review Journal. God, yes. The Las Vegas
there you go. Review Journal. So the boys hear that this is Lucky 13. They lose their fucking minds. She was literally a child gambling. So there's no way this story went from Vegas to Sacramento. But they react as though Michael Jordan is at their table. They're doing selfies with her and like screaming, Lucky 13 in the house. Like, they go fucking crazy for this shit.
She's a child gambling. This is pretty fucking cool, right?
She's here. So after that, we're back at college. There's a surprise party. There's another date with Parker. He's like, I gotta take you somewhere special or whatever.
Wait. Well, you forgot. There's a big breakup.
Breakup happens at the party.
No, it's before the party.
With the roommates, party. America and...
No. So, I don't know anybody's name in this movie. Blonde girl and...
Abby. One of the Abby Sprouse Abernathy. Boys.
Travis.
It's Travis. Coming to the end of their time together. Living together. She had been, messaging with her dad maybe at that point, and she just calls her dad Mick. He's in her phone as Mick.
This is after their first hookup, their first makeout is when this happens, because she goes running out of the room, and then there's a text on her iPad or on her laptop. And it's her saying like, I miss you, and like, are you free this weekend or whatever. So then he storms out of his own apartment, which is a weird choice. And then, they do break up at that point because he's like, well, it's your last day here or whatever anyway.
He gets like so mad that he sees it and just like runs off and doesn't really say anything. It was very, so they wind up he disappears for the night. Everybody's freaking out. They can't find him. He shows up the next morning super drunk with a cat.
Yes.
Oh, so we do finally see a cat.
Now there's a cat. Yes.
And then they have this big blow up.
Yeah, there's a lot of sex in this movie. We have a whole sex segment that we're going to talk about exactly what happened there. But she goes on a date with Parker. Parker takes her to a frat house afterward, and it happens to be a surprise birthday party for her. This party is a lot because Parker, they really hammer home how lame this dude is. Like, Abby's over here ripping shots and playing drinking games, and then he shows up like, hey, I got us two glasses of Merlot. Well, that's weird at a frat party. Yeah. He sits on a couch, and then he bores a girl to sleep talking about Obamacare. Yeah. The entire time, Abby is over here, like, off her ass. Like, she is doing every shot. She's drinking a fucking shitload of beers, just staring at Travis the entire fucking time. And then there's a part where Parker is very much caught on, and he's like, okay, like, you're not into me, you're into Travis, whatever. And she's like, no, I'm with you. And she's like, I'm twerking, see, guys love twerking. Quietly he's like, no, you're not.
That was very funny, but it was not
yeah. twerking. Like, nope, no, you're not. She was twerking.
She decided, I think she even said it out loud, it's like, let's get fucked up.
I need to get fucked up.
Yep. And they did. Had a great time.
She twerks in the same way it's a very Bob's Burgers type twerking. It's a very back driven twerk is what she's doing, I think.
Do you know what I learned today about Bob's Burgers? It's set in New Jersey. I already love that show.
It's supposed to be Atlantic City, but it's like
they got the boardwalk right there.
It could have been anywhere on the East Coast. I thought it was up like Massachusetts or Rhode Island or something.
How many boardwalks in Jersey?
Probably several.
Are there that many? I didn't know.
The whole fucking coast.
Is that right? Okay, good. Good to know. I just known that Atlantic City was the place where you get to walk the boards to the casinos.
Fucking everywhere.
And Steve Buscemi and
The only thing we got diners.
Driving some ducks? Nice.
In the boardwalk.
Flavortown.
Boardwalk. And so, Ripper hot dogs and Scrapple. There's Scrapple in the Northeast. Yeah.
Taylor Ham pork roll.
Taylor Ham pork roll. Yeah. We can go on.
So, in this movie,
the boss, Sinatra. Whitney Houston.
Oh boy,
yeah. Oh, Danny DeVito.
RIP Whitney Houston.
Jack Nicholson. Who else is from Jersey?
Frankie Valli. There you go. Yeah, they basically, Parker is like, I'm out of here. Like, you're into that other guy. Like, go be with him. There's a big fight between the roommates, which is a silly fight, but it felt very much like a college breakup fight to me, with America and her boyfriend just screaming at each other about shit that doesn't matter at all. Mm-hmm. Abby leaves and Travis like chases her down. The fight they had, to me, I laughed at the dialogue here, because she's like, what? You threw this crazy birthday party for me with all these people, and I have no idea who they are, and I'm supposed to be impressed because you threw this crazy birthday party for me with all these people, and I have no idea who they are. He's like, you just said that. Then they make out, and then at the end of the makeout, she pukes directly into his face and mouth. Like,
that was great. That was awesome.
It was very good.
I've done a lot of terrible things in my life, I can tell you. Never thrown up in anyone's mouth.
Never done that.
Terrible things, though.
So Travis takes her back to the apartment. Drunk Abby, or as I call her, Drabby. Drabby is fun. Because, she's puking, which is gross. And then they're, snuggling on the bathroom floor, which is an odd choice. She's like, yeah, you want to make out? I'm like, all right, I appreciate what you're doing here. Then he's like, no, but I'll get you a shirt to put on. And she tricks him into looking at her titties twice, where she's all right, I'm decent. No, I'm not.
Look at titties.
I like the choices she's making here. She's making fun choices. Apple
Cody.
Yeah. So this leads to kind of them reconciling, getting back together. And there's no better time to break down all of the sex scenes and how they handle sex in this movie than now. We don't have a sex segment, but here's our sex segment.
Let's talk about sex.
Yeah. In the Hackers episode, we had a Let's Talk About Tech Baby, but I don't have an audio stinger for this one. So America and Shepley, the roommates, are in the role play one time, and it's never brought up again.
Yeah.
When Abby is giving Travis the accidental hand job, they come running into the room in a nurse's outfit and a hospital gown at what must be 8 a.m. So y'all are getting it in early.
No, it was 9:47 because she was late for her bio test, which she'd been at school for a week.
For a day or test. Two.
College is tough, man. College is tough.
Yeah, it's rough. And then there's a shot later where Abby knocks on America's door to get her to come out. And from inside the room, we hear Shepley go, oh, come on, I was on the verge. But America's fully clothed in a sweatshirt and sweatpants. So I'm like, what exactly was going on in there?
No, you can.
Could be getting a blowjee, I guess. But
you can do, you can do a lot.
Couldn't get a blowjee. Then we talked about this a little bit, but I lost count of how many times we saw Dylan Sprouse's bare ass cheeks. Every time they hook up, we get a shot of them cheeks, and I assume that's supposed to be for the ladies. Dana, did that hit for you?
Them buns. I was not paying attention. I'm like, this is the little kid from Big Daddy. I'm not trying to see his bare.
It's also
cheeks.
Either The Sweet Life with Zach or Cody. It's one of those.
Also,
two.
Ben, is that the name of the child from Friends? What's that?
Yeah,
what's
Rachel? I think so. Friends, the little kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a lot of his butt in the movie. The first time that they hook up or make out, it is a stop and start situation. So they are aggressively making out, like getting it in, and then she just suddenly shoves him off and is like, stop, and then they stop, and then a few seconds later they start again. She grabs his dick and puts his hand down her pants, and then it's like, oh no, stop. And then the editors get the crown here, because there is aggressive porno sex music playing, and then when she says stop, this music drops entirely, and then they start back up and it starts up and says stop again, and that's when she runs out. And then Shepley's on the verge at that point. That's when he sees the text on her laptop and runs out, and the whole nine. The next time they hook up, it starts off with a foot massage. We set up that Travis has a full drawer that is just to the brim with condoms and sex toys and lube.
And Benoit balls, you got Benoit balls in there. He's got stuff that vibrates.
He's got all kinds of shit.
Oils and lubricants.
So we got a fridge tickler.
And if it's Fight Club, it's amyl nitrates and all that good stuff.
He's got all kind of shit in there. There was another shot later on. I think it was in Travis's bedroom. But there's a shot later on in Travis's bedroom where America is standing in front of a bunch of drawers, and they have like handwritten on them in white ink. One just says codeine. It's just like all bunch of drugs in a drawer.
It's like, what is going on?
Yeah. So Abby is on the bed and opens up the drawer and wants a foot massage from him. In the middle of the foot massage, she just fully like spreads her legs open, like while his face is right just there. Like, well, this is aggressive.
Yeah.
It's aggressive. We see more of Dylan's spouse's butt cheeks at this moment. And then he's going down on her and she's fully greased up like a bodybuilder. Like she is slick at this point. Yeah. It's time to fuck. She does that thing where she like opens the condom with her teeth, which I have been told dangerous. Never do that. It's an easy way to rip a condom. Like it's easy way to accidentally bite a hole in a condom. She opens the condom and is okay, now it's time. They do a big 1, 2, 3 countdown, trying to put it in the first time, which makes sense if she's a virgin. But then on 2, she grabs him by both butt cheeks and like crams it in, basically.
That stuck up here. It did. Yeah. I remember that.
1, 2. So
then, satire, right?
Yes. Yeah, and then she's like, she gives him the whole is it in joke. And then he gets upset and they laugh about it. And again, Abby is a genuinely funny character. Between this and tricking him into look at them titties, like I like her. She's a fun character. We get another sex scene later on, which is how this is the moment where I'm like, how did you guys not catch on that this is a satire film at this point?
Because at this point, I didn't care. I didn't care to be paying attention.
It's near the end of the movie. This is late in the film. They're in a hotel room in Vegas. They decide to have sex. It's basically that scene from Red Hot American Summer where they destroy the entire like nurses station or whatever, and they're like just throwing glasses and shit. Like,
correct.
This scene goes on and on. They destroyed several lamps, a dresser, a table, a sink, the shower. Pretty much every surface in the room has been completely destroyed. They're trying to have shower sex, and he's like, "I don't think it's working." And then she goes, "I can't feel anything." And he's humping her so violently, her head is like bouncing off the wall. Like she's just face pounding into the wall over again.
At one point where his back is to the wall, and then you keep hearing this like metal thumb. And I was like, is something going up his ass? Like what's going
on? I don't know.
They broke both the bottom nozzle of the shower where the water comes out in the full blast. And the shower
head.
The shower where the water sprinkles out. They managed to break it off.
The topper for me, there are cat noises happening. There's neighbors banging on the walls and the door. The phone is ringing. There's sirens blaring outside. Like it is
police are on their way.
Chaos. It is a chaotic scene. So those are all of the different sex things that happen. But after they have that, like the 1, 2 cram it in sex scene, we have a very sudden tone shift in this movie. The last half hour, the movie turns into a poker heist movie. It was a romantic comedy, I suppose. Now it's just a heist movie. It goes from 9.5 weeks to Ocean's 11 in like 3 seconds
flat. You son of a bitch. I'm in. Yeah,
it's nuts.
This is good stuff.
Abby goes to Vegas. We find out that her dad owes someone $100,000 tonight. Yes. And he needs Abby to gamble in order to win it. And this movie exists in a world where you can strategically win every single poker hand just by being good at poker.
And having queens each time. Every hand she won, she had pocket queens, which, guess what? That's the, ace? That's the fourth best hand in poker?
Yeah.
You have a good chance of winning with that. Yeah.
But it's as though there's no chance involved at all. Like, she wins every single hand just because she's very good at poker. Her poker technique, just to make the men she's playing with very sexually uncomfortable. Like the first she walks in what Chris Rock would call a fuck 'em girl dress, like just a fuck 'em dress. It's like a mini dress. Her boobs are all over the place. And she sits down at the table, at the high stakes table. And the first thing she does is talk about how she's in town for a bachelorette party. And the bachelorette is mad at her because the groom finger banged her on Halloween. Literally says the word finger banged me. And I'm like, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Then she dumps out her purse to get her chips and she goes, oh, where's my vibrator? So she's just trying to make these men distracted with her sex. she wins all the money that she needs at this one table. She's like making fun of the guys and talking to them to get them off their game. Then on her way out, security stops her. She's very nervous because she's underage and can't gamble. She turns around and it's this guy, Jesse, who I guess is like a childhood friend of hers.
Sure.
She definitely knows him. And they have this very like, oh, hey, Jesse, like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. And they have like a little bit of chit chat.
Oh,
and
hi, she's Mark.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, hi, all Mark. And then she's like, yeah. He's like, yeah,
you're my best.
You can't leave here. You need to give me all the money.
Yes.
So I laughed out loud because it was like, oh, you're fine. It's a guy, you know. He's like, no. But for real, though, I need all that money right now.
She's in the Griffin book. She's in the Black book. She's banned.
Oh, yeah.
If she's ever been to a casino before.
Yeah.
She's banned.
She's 100%. Like, I can't go to the Bellagio because they recognize me there.
Yeah. Oh, no. The Black book's all over Vegas. So everywhere. She couldn't go anywhere. But
no.
So that's the part that kind of confused me, because I'm just like, how had she been making money playing poker until this point? Where can she legally play poker?
I think she was playing like illegal underground poker. Correct. Which is why it's weird that the newspaper wrote Lucky 13 turned 16 in an article about her.
She also plays in people's
garages and basements. Yeah. It's just, you can make money that way. You can. It's not glamorous.
But, okay, so that's where there's two dicks. So I'm assuming like maybe there's some like amateur poker things that she can play in and win that like it's really not for money. I don't know. Probably not. But then, okay, so if she knows she can't play legally, why the fuck is she in any goddamn casino? She should be looking for an underground backdoor game.
Well, yes. More, that would have made a lot more sense.
Rounders than oceans when you're robbing from the game. Go play the go play the 3 a.m. up at the Woodside Tavern or wherever it is. Play those back.
Go to Pahrump.
That
would have made more sense.
The opening of Ocean's 11, where he's teaching young Hollywood people how to play. But that's the game she needs to be.
Instead, you know, she goes to a casino.
I'm going to watch
on the strip.
I love that movie. I'm watching.
I mean, this movie get to the movie poker. I get it.
Not horny. Ocean's 11, not horny enough, but
not horny enough.
If it could have been a little hornier, maybe. My favorite movie ever. We'll see.
So we find out that this is all a setup. Abby's dad, the guy he owes money to, and Jesse are all in cahoots where they just used her to win $100,000. And I'm like, if that's the case, make it 250. Like, make it more.
I didn't understand this part. I was like, who are these people? What's going on?
Because it's unnecessarily complicated in a bad movie plot. This is when things get too complicated. That's how you know it's a bad movie.
Yep. So I think they felt like they had a quality swerve here, but like, it's weird to think that like 15 minutes before this, the movie was a straight up rom-com. This movie has had an insane tone shift out of fucking nowhere. And it doesn't really shift back. After this, there's a shot where Travis is in the hotel room and was it a flyer for a fight with Chernobyl? Was it on the computer, on the TV? He finds out.
I thought he made a deal with Chernobyl. The guy. No, I thought he made a deal with the guy.
Oh, did he make a with the debt guy?
Yeah, who was also owed the $100,000. Well, owed the $100,000. I thought he'd made a deal with that guy for.
I might have blinked and missed that. I thought that he just found out he could get this money and then going to give it to Abby to give it to this guy. Who knows? Doesn't fucking matter. In any event, he's going to fight a giant Russian man named Chernobyl for the money that he needs to get Abby.
He's not a giant. He's just...
He's bigger than Travis.
Tough. He's made of rocks.
He has
rocks.
It's true.
Where muscles...
I assume Dylan Sprouse is like 5'7". So, like, you can't have a really big dude. You can't have Boagrius from Troy show up in this thing.
Oh, no. I assumed he was called Chernobyl because he was in the Chernobyl disaster.
Well, his teeth show up.
That's why he's full of, like, rock muscles. Where it's fully
his teeth are fucked up, so that could be the case. So, Abby tries to get in touch with Travis and tell him that, like, it was all a setup. And then he doesn't have to fight this guy. But, like,
you know what
can't
to do?
Get in touch with him.
Because I'm the coolest guy.
Get in touch with him.
Leave me a message. I'm below ground. Cool.
God. The other dude, Shepley, has now shown up to be his corner man, essentially, for this fight. He gets in the ring, and the promoter just goes, "All right, whoever dies first loses." It's like, Jesus Christ. At some point, he's doing okay at first, and then a dude jumps up on the ring apron with a goddamn chain and just starts strangling the shit out of Chavis with the train. He then gives Chernobyl the train, who wraps it around his fist and just keeps on beating the shit out of Travis. I didn't see how this happened, but a fire breaks out? Like a random fire just starts in this building?
That. No, someone throws something in it, and then a power line breaks and then hits one of the other motors, and then it's ridiculous.
Fire breaks out, and that's how they're able to escape without Travis dying in the ring. And then we just get Travis and Abby hanging out. Travis's face is all fucked up. They have all the money still. And they ride off into the sunset. It's just very much like, let's just party. And I guess he just doesn't care about college anymore.
They had Brian Austin Green for half a day. They had Michael Cutlets.
They had him for a night. Half a day. His scenes were all at nighttime.
And that's the best they could do.
That's the best they could do.
And the Brian Austin Green stuff, it's like, I love you.
Yeah, he was asleep. He was asleep.
Don't get enough movie of what's going on with the dad. Okay, so I looked it up on the internet.
Okay,
Dylan Sprouse is 5'10". The other Sprouse is 6 foot tall.
So. Oh,
are they not identical twins?
I don't think identical means you have to be the same exact height.
You have the exact same DNA. Like, how do you?
I don't know.
I wonder if they fed one better.
I'm sure they look exactly the same face.
They have the same face.
One's like what's 2 inches?
It's 2 inches. Yeah, I just figured you had to be the exact same because you have the exact same DNA and your body plan would be the same. Twins.
Same. No, he was the, yeah, they have the same butt cheeks. He was the,
same butt cheeks. The butt
double. He was the butt double. Yeah.
He was the cheeks double.
Dylan's like, you know what? I'm good with everything, but. Not my butt cheeks.
Get my brother for the
butt. For me. My butt cheeks are for me.
I will say also the movie ends. They have all. I don't understand why she didn't realize she had the money. That didn't make any sense to me. Like she was surprised. I was like, girl,
I think it was in the car, and like she didn't know that it was like visible in the back seat and duffel bag.
She was joking around saying, "Why don't you open that bag? That's what's his name's bag. There's definitely a shirt in there."
Huh? Oh my god! Oh. This movie,
she was better acting it that way than I was. But then he opens, it's like, "There's fucking cash." It's like, "Whose cash is this?" Like,
"It's my cash."
Be able to say that.
But then you do all the Polaroids because they go like one more night in Vegas. We have
Body Rockers in the house tonight. That's pretty. They should have paid for it.
Before we get that, we get on the screen the end, or is it?
Is it?
Or is it?
And then we get the Polaroids.
Yeah, it says beautiful wedding or disaster wedding.
That's the sequel is Beautiful Wedding.
Everybody just have a good time.
Which I had to watch Beautiful Wedding now. So that's how this movie goes. Like this thing is just off the fucking rails. I'm gonna.
And there's more people vomiting too. There's vomiting on each other in the toilet, in each other's mouths. It's awesome.
It's a lot of puking. So one of the things we like doing on this pod is taking a look at a minor character to see if this movie was the start of big things at the peak of their whole career. So it's time for an IMDb deep dive. We're diving on, I'm going to pronounce his name, Tihomir Vinchev. Chernobyl. Tihomir. He played Chernobyl.
Tihomir. He has
54 total credits.
Oh, shit.
This was his most recent film. So this is his first time ever actually being a named character. He's a stunt guy. He previously did stunts in the 2011 Conan the Barbarian starring Jason Momoa. He was in the Expendables 2. No, I don't think he was a stunt double. I think he just did stunts in the movie. So he did stunts in the Expendables 2, 300, Rise of an Empire, Expendables 3, The Dictator, London Has Fallen, The Hitman's Bodyguard, the 2019 Hellboy, Angel Has Fallen, Black Widow, The Last Duel, A Christmas Story, Christmas, and Boogeyman. He also served as Stallone's body double in Rambo Last Blood. So he was Stallone's
Blood?
Yeah, Last Blood.
The one where he's like, you know what? I'm just going to kill Mexicans. That's what I'm going to do now.
That's yep, what he was Stallone's stunt double in that one.
Oh, good.
So yeah, just a full-on stunt guy, and then he got to act a tiny bit in this movie. So he's on the come up. Way to go, Tichomir Vinchev. Now, that does bring us to the end of this episode, and just like the end of the school year, that means it's time to add some superlatives. Shepley is most likely to poke holes in his own condoms. We didn't really talk about the fight that they had. The fight that he and his girlfriend had was because he wanted to have 5 kids and she didn't want to have any. It was like a drunken college argument that they had about that.
But he would definitely
sabotage his own condoms.
You don't want to have kids? You don't want to have kids? That part was,
I don't know.
Forgettable. It was forgettable.
I liked it. It made me laugh. Yeah. America is most likely to encourage bad decisions. Mm-hmm. Travis is most likely to suffer from severe CTE. He was getting punched in the head with bare knuckles a lot.
Correct.
And Abby is most likely to make a living posting poker-themed thirst traps on Instagram and TikTok. This next movie is Dana's pick. Dana, what are we going to watch next?
Oh, I'm like so very torn. I'm looking up a bunch of
ones. I'm all out of faith. I know.
I'm already torn.
I'm sorry I do that all the time, but it's just
looking at ones that were on HBO. I'm now looking at movies that are on Netflix.
Just pick the air up there and get it over with.
Jimmy Dolan, shake and bake.
Shake and bake.
Yeah. Good stuff.
So I feel like the movies I'm thinking about are like new, but then I also saw this one that I think would just be ridiculous and fun. Do we just do The Boy Next Door?
Talk about a bad movie. Yeah.
Jennifer Lopez.
God. Oh God. What was I listening to? There was somebody making fun of her for how often she squeezes in Jenny from the Block. I guess there was some interview where they were looking at pictures of her and she's like, yep, that was still when I was just Jenny from the Block. Like, fucking stop. You gotta fucking stop it. Oh,
her tour
boy,
is not selling well. So.
The album fucking tanked. It bombed. And she was like, I guess tastes have just changed.
She made a bit of a... It was a little... That Amazon, whatever you want to call it.
I didn't finish watching it. I gotta watch it.
Ridiculous. It's...
Well, because you gotta watch the documentary, I think, too.
Sure. Yeah.
Where Ben Affleck is just kind of like...
That'll make me understand it. Yep. That'll make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure, honey. No. Like, there's a scene where he's like, you just gotta trust your gut. Like, you know, it's your first time doing it. Like, you're making a movie. Just, like, go with it. She's like, well, some of us aren't Oscar award-winning. And he's like, neither am I.
God.
The picture one, not me.
Yeah, Argo. Yeah. It was the one. Okay.
Well, he got one for Goodwill Hunting, didn't he? For writing.
He shared it with, like, Kevin Smith didn't. He should have gotten a writing Oscar for that one.
But yeah, we're gonna do J-Lo, The Boy Next Door. I feel like I've seen this. I don't know. I had a whole list of other ones, but I was like, yeah. It's
oh this one. God, this movie is gonna make us so goddamn uncomfortable. This movie's fucking gross.
Blumhouse.
Is it Blumhouse for real?
It's a Blumhouse production. I'm not sure if this is before they put their name. That's produced by Jason Blum.
Wow.
So,
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well. That does it for this week's episode. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave us a 5-star review. You can also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Recap and Gown Pod. That is RECAPNGOWNPOD. And join our Facebook group, the Recap and Gown Fan Club. We'll keep the discussion going in there all week. If you guys have any opinions or memories of this movie, we'd love for you to jump in and let us know what you think. But if you didn't like what you heard, to quote the Ring Girl from the fight with Chernobyl, you're going to die. Take it easy, millennials. We'll see you next week.